Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with Him and slept with Him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by Him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the Word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the Word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what He's talking about. It isn't just hearing the Word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the Word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the Word, and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people grow up!
How about now? Anybody hear me? Radio check. Radio check. Still no audio. Okay. Anything? So Shalom. Radio check. Any audio? Very low. All right, how about now? Testing, 1-2 test. Testing, 1-2 testing. 5. What in the world? All right. All right, how about now? Can you hear me? Very, very low. Much better. Okay, much better. All right. Hallelujah. All right, sounds like we got audio again. We're back to a 10. Anyway, glory to the King. Well, bless y'all. This is Elder Becker. I'm hosting tonight's segment of Blog Talk Radio for the brothers, and some of the disciples are going to call. Oh, jeez. I don't know. Anyway, glory to the King. I think that happened last time, too, didn't it? Oh, hang on. Can y'all hear me yet? I had to pull some plugs and reroute some wires so I wouldn't get interrupted by the phone. Anyway, glory thing. All right, I think we got this back. I think we're back on target again, back on track. Already a whole load of disruptions. Anyway, blessings again. Yes, this is Elder Becker hosting this segment of Blog Talk Radio, the Brothers segment tonight. I hope y'all are doing very well. I hope y'all had a really good week. Don't tell me you lost audio again. Oh, boy. I do not know what's going on here. All right, glory to the King. Well, all right, enough of this. I don't know. I'm just going to go on and do whatever. Okay. Anyway, appreciate y'all joining me tonight. Hope y'all had a great day today. We definitely got productive today. And as always, it's Straightway here and all the other communities as well. We're all the same mind when it comes to getting the work done, no matter what type of work that is. Hey, I know everybody. If you didn't enjoy yesterday's Shabbat message, you really got to check yourself and you need some serious deliverance because, man, that thing was powerful. I mean, what the shepherd brought yesterday was such a mouthful. That's definitely one that everybody should be listening two or three times. That is for sure. Yeah, the power of words are incredible. You know, we can read it on the page and we can try to rationalize it or try to accept it as what it's saying, but when you actually see the demonstration of it and the proof behind it, yeah, Brother Ugly, you're right, they need the crap slapped out of them, you're right, but man, that thing was so good. I mean, they're all good, but that one was, wow, definitely right from the throne room, no doubt about it. And hey, you know, Yeshua, loves us that much that he's actually giving us the word. They're giving us the help so that we can increase in faith and we can and perform the works of the kingdom. You know, that's who we are as ambassadors to the kingdom of Yah, and we need to be doing the things that are at our disposal to do if we, you know, use them. Hallelujah. So that's why tonight I actually had something. I've been working on something else for a couple weeks, and I was, you know, quite a bit done with it. And then out of nowhere, I got this kind of dropped in my spirit, so I shifted gears and I got this done in two nights. So got up at 1:30 the other morning, two mornings ago, and didn't get back to bed and worked on a good part of it, and a little bit early this morning as well. So hey, glory to the King. Yeah, we're going to be talking about gifts tonight. Just it's not super in depth, but just kind of a, you know, going over some of the things spoken about in Paul's letters about the gifts that are belong to the assembly, belong to the saints, the use behind them. Again, with anything in Yah's word, you know, it's unexhaustible. So, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, but we'll try to do our best to keep, you know, the stuff in the saints' mind and their memories. Yes, gifts. So with that, we are going to get started. All right. Glory to the King. Appreciate you all listening, following along tonight. I know a lot of this, a lot of the blog talks and the, you know, the videos and whatever, a lot of them get listened to later on YouTube. On YouTube. So, hey, glory to the King. Anyway, the gifts. All right. The gift are those things given from above and in greater measure than what is bestowed upon us when we are born again and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is that everybody that is truly born again and of the Spirit of Yah already has a certain measure of faith to operate in the gifts, deliverance, healing, you know, them sort of things, laying on of hands, because that was already spoken unto us and commanded of us of Yahshua, and when he spoke in Mark 16, talking to the apostles, and as ambassadors, disciples of Christ, these things that we already have at our disposal, but yet they are the gifts we're talking about are gifts that are, you know, specialized and not so much special, but in a greater measure, greater administration. The gifts are given to achieve unity and oneness in the body of Christ. Gifts distinguish us as individuals in the magnitude and the manifestation of that gift. The gifts operate by love. Pastor's been saying this for as long as I've been part of this ministry and heard him speak. He's been saying that. I mean, what do they call that? A broken record? You know, if it keeps saying I don't be broken, but you know what I mean. As vessels of Yah, we must operate, apply, and work in those gifts towards and for the people in that love, just as Yahshua did when he was walking this earth, because he gave us the example of the manifestation of the gifts of the kingdom of heaven and all the things that he did. The gifts are given for everyone in the assembly to profit thereby, to help the whole, to bring together and strengthen the body of the Messiah. And again, thank you always, Brother Ugly, for your diligence in, you know, posting up the scriptures and the definitions for the saints that are following along live. So glory to the King. All right, James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, James 1, 17. James 1, 17. All right, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So James is trying to tell us, and he is telling us as he penned this letter to the assembly, that the gifts, the true gifts, the spiritual gifts, they come down from Shemayim, from Yahweh Elohim, and these are perfect gifts. These are good gifts, and they're perfect, they're complete, they're flawless, they're pure in regard to the gift, because they come from Yah, of course. The word gift, the Greek 1394, and we're going to have a lot of definitions tonight. Greek 1394. The word gift is dosis. It's from the base of 1325. It means a giving by implication, concretely a gift. A giving. So every good giving, everything that's given that is good, is given from the Father of lights, and it's perfect. All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. There's two. The word gift here has two different. What a mess. I am sorry. My paper is so messed up here. The printer smeared everything. All right, that was the gift. The first gift was right after every good gift, and the second gift is after perfect gift. So that gift is the Greek 1434, and it's dorema, and it means, it's from the Greek 1433. It's a bestowment, something that is bestowed, and it comes from the Greek 1433, which is dore omia, and it means to bestow gratuitously to give. So what James is saying, that every good that we are given, everything good that we are given, and every perfect bestowment, every flawless, every pure, every complete thing comes from Yah, comes down from the Father of lights. So we know it's good. We know it's pure. It's from Shemayim. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And what that means when it makes room for you is means that when people realize, those that have a knowing, that can discern, that can tell, that can see, by demonstration, however it comes out, that will recognize the gift that you are operating in. And of course, that thing, bring before great men as a demonstration in the body of that particular gift. All right, I'm going to break the word gift down in Proverbs 18:16. This is from the Complete Word Study Dictionary, Brother Ugly. I don't know if you have that one. It's gift, Hebrew 49:76, matah. It indicates what is given and comes from the root. So it's an indication of what is given. The man's gift make room for him. And by indication, you can actually see the manifestation of it, and that's the indication that he's operating in one of the gifts of the Spirit. All right, going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, we'll be spending a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 12 because Paul talked a whole lot about the gifts, and the Corinthian, the church at Corinth, they definitely must have demonstrated them. In fact, we're going to talk just briefly about chapter 14, but it got to be so much that Paul actually had to kind of pull back, get him to pull back the reins a little bit and understand the direction gifts and how they're supposed to be used appropriately and correctly in the body. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and it's going to go through, let's see. Well, we're jumping all over. It's going to go to verse 10, but then we're going to have some other stuff that's going to be inserted in there. So, Brother Ugly, I'll try to do my best to keep you kind of in line. I guess it's one through verse 1 through 11. All right. All right, this is Paul. He's writing again this letter to the assembly at Corinth. And he's expounding on to them gifts. Now he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." He's saying, I would not have you without knowledge or without a knowing what these gifts are. This is what this letter is about. I'm here to inform you about what these gifts are. Now, see, the thing that Paul stands out right away in the very beginning is he's making a distinction from a natural gift and something that's a spiritual gift, something that comes down from the Father of Light, something that comes down, which is a perfect gift, which is a perfect bestowment, something bestowed upon the individual saint. It's a good giving that comes, again, down from the Father of Lights, in distinction from natural gifts that are on this earth. And, we're going to get a little bit of that too, talking about what it means. Certain things look like they could be more directed towards a natural type of aspect, when in fact every gift that Paul is writing about to the assembly here is all things that are spiritual gifts, which come from Yah. Verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles." So Paul is going to remind them of their former state and the things that they involved themselves in this former life. And he's making them aware of these spiritual gifts that they had no idea about before, that that they are can be granted to actually have and use. "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." They were completely ignorant of Yah. and they were just absolutely idolaters. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand, you know, because as former Gentiles, they didn't have the understanding. And Paul's going to try to clarify them and show them that what he's about to tell them is something they can actually so-called take to the bank. That no man speaking by the Spirit of Yah calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Yahweh, Master, but by the Holy Spirit. So as Paul was speaking, Paul was a man speaking by the Spirit of Yah and having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as one having authority who is well able to expound on the nature and intention of spiritual gifts. And he is assuring the saints that he is telling them right. You know, as in their former state, when they were Gentiles, all the other stuff that they heard, they believed. They went after these idols, trying to manifest the power or whatever that may be through the idols that they worship. But now he's telling these things here, now that you're actually in the way of truth, there's something in that you really need to know what really true authority and power is. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Keep going on. Now, Paul, now he's going to break it down. He said that all these gifts concerning spiritual gifts, and he said, I don't want to have you ignorant without knowledge of what these are and what these represent. So I'm going to break them down so as an assembly, as in all the assemblies, they have the understanding of what they are and the different workings of these individual gifts. Now, he said, now there are diversities, or which is kinds, that means kinds. Now, there are kinds of gifts or kinds of bestowments, but the same Spirit. So Paul is telling right away, again, this is all coming from one central source. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Yah's Spirit. It's not coming from this idol over here, that idol over here. This is coming from the Father of Lights, Yahweh Elohim, which is sitting in the throne in Shemaim. And there are differences of administrations, but the same master. All right, word administrations is the Greek 1248. And this is the Thayer definition, it's diakonia. And it means service, ministering, especially of those who execute the commands of others, of those who by the command of Yah proclaim and promote religion among men, faith among men. So there are differences of those who by the command of Yah proclaim and promote faith among men. As of the office of Moses, of the office of the apostles and its administration or the performance of that office, and the administering of that office, that's what he means by there's a different administrations because there's different ordained leadership. And of the office of prophets, evangelists, elders, etc. So that's who Paul is trying to get them to see, that there's certain gifts. Remember, these are all about gifts, and these administrations are gifts to the body. And he's going to go down and explain them in greater detail later on. The office of a deacon in the assembly, the service of those who prepare and present food. So that's what the word administrations mean in Thayer Greek 1248. All right, going on to verse 6. And there are diversities of operations or diversities, kinds of workings, but it is the same Yah who worketh all in all. Now, a greater expression of that gift by virtue of the ordination of that position, that the position carries the gift. Let me see if I can make this clear. These are my notes, and I really butchered them up. One that is without an ordained position can and do work in the gifts, but normally will not carry the same level of authority and power as the result of the position. An apostle is said to do great miracles. A prophet, of course, operated in a higher level of prophesying, as would be the case by his virtue of his title and position. So, right. Just by the ordained position, they already carried certain gifts or were bestowed upon these certain administrations just by fact, virtue of the fact that they were placed in that level of authority, that place in the body, amongst the body, for the workings of the assembly, for the good of the assembly. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, or the exhibition, the demonstration of that certain bestowment which was given by Yah from Shemaim, is given to every man to profit withal. And I think Paul's meaning something almost dualistic here, saying that every man's going to, if you're in the body of Christ, actually be a partaker of that gift at some point. Either, you know, see a demonstration of it, hear a demonstration of it, you know, whatever the case may be, but also this same manifestation, this same demonstration of this gift in the exhibition, of course, is given to the individual people that the gift is bestowed upon, and they manifest it when they actually work or walk in the operation of the gift. All right, the word prophets is the Greek 4851, sumphero. This is a Thayer definition again, the word prophet. And it means to bring to bear or bring together. See, interesting frame of words, frame of reference, because the whole idea behind the gifts was for the working, the edification, and the unification of the entire body of Christ. So this prophet is the prophet by the working, the manifestations of the Spirit are to bear or bring together, to bear together at the same time, to carry with others, to collect or contribute in order to help. To help, be profitable, be expedient. All right, 1 Corinthians going on, verse 12, still in chapter 12. So Paul's going to begin. Right here, starting in verse 8, or this part of his letter, he's going to start breaking down all the different types of gifts. Remember, he said right at the very beginning of his letter that, you know, there's administrations, and you got the administrations, and you got the different kinds of gifts, and you have the kinds of the way that the gifts actually operate, or the workings of the gifts. All right, let me see, starting in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word, which is a thing spoken, it's an utterance. That's what gives it authority. Remember, like we heard yesterday, you know, you have to kind of prophesy, make it prophetic, speak it into existence. And we have the same thing here. The thing spoken, life and death is in the power of the tongue. For to one is given by the Spirit the word, or the thing spoken of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, or the spoken thing of knowledge by the same Spirit. Excuse me. All right, we're going to break each one of these gifts down. Remember, this is only superficial. You could take one word. You could take the gift of having the word of wisdom, the gift of having the word of knowledge, and you could just build on that and probably do an entire segment of Brother's Blog Talk. But right now, we're just going to, you know, basically just cover, skim over the top of the gifts. It's just remembrance, I guess, more so, just because of the way Yah is preparing us and getting our hearts and minds ready for the operation and the performance and the exposition, the manifestation of the gifts that always take place, especially when the body comes together in such as a feast day. Those that, have actually been here and seen it demonstrated the great manifestations of the power of Yah that have taken place. Heard the utterance of the tongues, seen all the mighty healings and the miracles, and a great many demons get cast out, and even those that, you know, can't be here or that have been here know the power and the demonstration of these things. So the word of wisdom, or the spoken thing of wisdom, the Greek 4678, interesting, Sophia. I wonder how many Sophias out here there know that their name means wisdom in Greek. All right, this is the Thayer definition again. Thayer definition. All right, wisdom, broad and full of intelligence, used of the knowledge of very diverse matters. So remember, these are spiritual gifts. This isn't just, there's a lot of people that have, millions of people, not so much as the generations continue, but, you know, just after the natural standpoint, I'm sure everybody in our life has heard the words of somebody that's very wise, and they're wise because they're very astute by, you know, simple the fact of the number of years that they have behind them, you know, life experiences, do this, don't do that. You know, seen a lot, very observant, that type of thing. So, but Paul said, this is the difference. He said, these are spiritual gifts, meaning they take on a more important connotation. They're above and beyond that which is natural. So they carry something, the same type of spirit that the spirit of the wisdom that Yah uses is the same type of wisdom that he's giving, the spiritual wisdom to those that are in earthen vessels. And of course, that's automatically going to set that apart, because these are all the things of the spirit, the manifestation of the spirit. These are going to set this apart from what we understand to be a natural characteristic of certain people. So the word wisdom, broad and full of intelligence, used in the knowledge of very diverse matters. The wisdom which belongs to men, because of course this Greek word can mean a few different things. The act of interpreting dreams and always giving the sagest advice. Now, this one here really fits what would be considered divinely appointed bestowment or a gift. And so I went through this big old meaning here and just took out some of the ones that pertain more to a spiritual nature. Summon supreme intelligence, such as belongs to Yah. So it keeps going back. This wisdom is a great intelligence, a great somebody that's very observant. It's the wisdom of Yah as invinced in forming and executing counsels in the formation and government of the world and the scriptures. So it helps actually build something and lay a foundation for something, to make something sound. All right, someone operating the gift of wisdom works in a greater intelligence in matters and has the ability through calculated moves to build up through in-depth teaching and skill. It gives those who operate in this gift the ability to look out and give direction, admonishment, and counsel. Remember, this is for the body of Yahshua. These spiritual gifts are there to help us better walk safely in this life and avoid the pitfalls in dangerous situations. Someone with the word of wisdom is also able to reveal and interpret dreams, such as Daniel the prophet. This is one of the other manifestations of somebody that has a gift of the word of wisdom. The wisest man that I know on this earth is Tyus, hands down, Pastor Dow. There ain't nobody else that is even close. Elder Rufus is a very wise man as well as Elder Mitchell, Elder Donnie, but, you know, pastors and Pastor Corey, but Pastor Dowell is just way, you know, he just, some of his wisdom just astounds me. But again, it's a spiritual gift. It's not the wisdom of men. It's a manifestation of something that has been bestowed to him and other men, and this just doesn't have to be for leadership. It can be to anybody, right? I mean, we had a Brother Ernie when he was with us. You know, he passed away in 2006 or something like that. He's a very wise man, just by virtue of experience, by age, but he had bestowed a lot of word of wisdom on us, because he was a very intelligent man. And you could tell that he was walking in a wisdom beyond that which was natural. All right, the word of knowledge, or knowledge, the Greek 1108, gnosis, I guess it is, from the Greek 1097. It's a knowing, so the word of knowledge, it's a knowing, the act of knowing, that is by implication knowledge, that's in Strong's, Brother Ugly. That's in Strong's, so And it's from the Greek 1097. I'm going to read that as well. A prolonged form of primary verb, to know, absolutely to know, to have a knowing. In a great variety of applications and many implications, as showing it left with others not thus clearly expressed, allow, be aware of, feel, have, know, perceive, be resolved, can speak, be sure, understand. But the thing, it's a knowing, both definitions, an absolute knowing. Not so much as we understand knowledge with something in a greater degree, like an alertness, an awakening. Someone with the gift of the word of knowledge shows and demonstrates, meaning that when I say word, when they see it, when they perceive it, when it comes in their spirit, in their mind, that's when they actually give pronounce it. That's when they actually speak it or convey it orally. Someone with the gift of the word of knowledge shows and demonstrates the ability of a much higher level of awareness, perception, and discernment. A knowing, as we've heard the term many times spoken in the midst, just a knowing. There's just something internal. And we all have, I think everybody that they have a small measure of this already, but it's not a greater manifestation. It's not a greater operation of the gift. But we've all been given a measure in some degree of some of these things, just by the virtue and the fact that we're walking in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we have Yah's Spirit. So it only makes sense as we're becoming created in the image of Yahshua, being conformed into His image, that we will ultimately at some point, not at a greater level, maybe the lesser level, but still be able to identify these gifts because we've actually had them happen to ourselves in a more of a minor degree. All right, demonstrates the ability of a much higher level of awareness, perception, and discernment, unknowing as we often hear the word used. These people have the ability to soundly remedy situations and circumstances. These people display an ability to have things prepared and ready before things are required or needed. And see, now, a word of knowledge is not like, we have our know-it-alls. Everybody has a know-it-all. They got a natural word of knowledge for everything that goes on in life, and they're going to volunteer it. It's actually a spiritual condition, and it's a spirit of control and a pride and a few other things. But it's not the manifestation of the spirit of Yah, because the spirit of Yah, he isn't forceful. He doesn't force himself on anybody or anything like that. He doesn't interrupt or do anything like that, right? It's just something when there's a situation going on and just something comes up in the mind or, hey, this, that, or the other thing, and it's there to help make an improvement in some way, shape, or form in the body. It's like, okay, I use Brother Bud. Brother Bud he's a professional. He has a hell of a lot of natural knowledge when it comes to building trades from the ground up. The man is just, he's full of knowledge in that. He's actually a very good teacher in that, but that's his special area there. It's like when Yah raised up men in Israel to build the furniture and build the tapestry and that such for the tabernacle. When they were in the wilderness, he bestowed upon them that special working knowledge or a skill knowledge, but not necessarily a word of knowledge, if you can understand what I'm saying. So there's a distinction between the spiritual and natural. All right, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. Proverbs 24, 3 through 5. Through wisdom, which is something that exceeds in teaching or skill, is a house builded, or through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge or perception or discernment shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth in strength. So you have right here in Proverbs 24, one of the wisest men that ever lived beside Yahshua, as far as we know, because he actually asked for it. We're going to look a little bit at him too, just briefly. That's Solomon. But he wrote this through wisdom or a superior intellect. Something that is divinely given is a house built, and it's built in a solid way, in a way that it's going to stand whatever the test may be. It can be a material house, you know, as our minds may say. It could be your own house, which you would be in your body. And then knowing what to put in these chambers, right? Having a word of knowledge to say that, you know, we need to put that in this room and this and that room, and so we can build up this house and make it profitable for the whole body. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Just another aspect of knowledge, wisdom that Yah bestowed upon. And these are spiritual gifts. These weren't natural gifts. These are very spiritual gifts that Solomon possessed. Now, O Yahweh, the Elohim, let thy promise unto David thy father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And Yah said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, all these materialistic things, nor the life of thy enemies, neither hast thou asked for long life. But you have asked, Solomon, you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall they have after thee any like. So Yah gave Solomon a good manifestation, a good, you know, we have a good account right before us to see the demonstration and the exhibition of the bestowment of these gifts that came from the Father of Light. You understand, you recall the story about the two harlots, and they came with the child, right? And again, Yah, he was asking these particular blessings, bestowments, so that he could judge the people and judge righteously. If anybody knows anything about judgment, Yah is very, very, very serious about how judgment is carried out amongst Israel. And Solomon obviously knew that he didn't want to play around with that. So you had the account of the two harlots with the child, and you remember the story, how it all came out and played out, that they both said that this is my child, and through wisdom and knowledge that he was given of the heavenly, not, you know, this was clearly of a divine nature. There's no application earthly that you could actually apply to the situation he had to do with the two harlots. And of course, the obvious, you know, the outcome of that was that you divide the child, right, and give it to both of them. I mean, who would have thought of something like that? Seriously, right? Unless been given the Yah, and of course that remedied the whole situation. So if you haven't read that account for a while, take a minute and go read it. All right, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and continue on talking and breaking down some of these gifts. So we've talked about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. And to another, this by the gift of faith, by the same Spirit, so it's coming from the same source, from Yah. To another, the gift is healing by the same Spirit. The word faith is the Greek 4102. And we all have a measure of faith, right? But there's something that the gift of faith extends in a greater measure, expounds in a great, it's built in a greater measure in certain people. Again, you can see that obviously with Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, you know, hands down, with the great mighty manifestations. Many of their Ashayas also demonstrate and exhibit that great measure of faith. And we all have a little bit of it, but they've been given a greater measure, and they show the operation of it when they walk in it and you know, actually do that which is required of the gift. All right, the word faith, the Greek 4102, pistis, it's from the Greek 3982, 82, it means persuasion, that is credence, moral conviction of a religious truth or the truthfulness of Yah or a religious teacher. I mean, some of this stuff is so hard, it just, Abstractly, constancy in such profession, by extension, the system of religious truth itself, religious assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. I should have went right to the bottom, right? It's an assurance. It's a belief. It's a greater belief, a greater assurance, a greater ability to speak something and you know, give it the right kind of life. Remember, life and death is in the power of tongue, to speak life, to prophesy, as, again, we heard when Pastor brought us the message yesterday. It's from the Greek 3982, pitho, to convince by argument, true or false, by knowledge, to pacify or conciliate by other fair means. Ooh, boy, some of these words, reflexively or passively, to assent. Anyway, skipping down, to have confidence, to have a greater measure of confidence, something that has just been given. And remember, all the gifts, the measure that you get, the requirement is to build on that. You can take all the gifts and look at them in the same thing in Matthew 25, talking about the talents. It is a talent. It's something that's been given to you to actually build on and promote and show that you've actually given the increase by what you were given in the beginning. That doesn't matter if it's a small measure or a big measure. There's a requirement for both, and there's going to be a reckoning for it too. I mean, if it says to covet the best gift earnestly, if you're coveting for a gift of healing and it actually starts to come, you're starting to see a manifestation, and because you're walking, you're assured, you have a confidence now, you can feel that, you believe that Yah has actually given the gift, and you actually practice in faith, operating in the gift of faith, and then somewhere along the line, you just stop, you let life enter in or whatever. I mean, word of knowledge, distraction, having a word of wisdom, you got life's other problems, the cares of life entering in. They snuff these things out. So that's why when you're walking in gifts, you have to stay spiritually pure as you can. Those operating in the gift of faith demonstrate a greater level of confidence and assurance that even the greatest obstacles can be overcome. And how many times did we hear about obstacles yesterday? All right, healings, the gift of healing, the Greek 2386. Yama, it's from the Greek 2390. The cure, the effect, healing, so it's curing. So the gift, the bestowment of healing is to actually cure, to make things whole. And it's from the Greek 2390. It's to cure. Again, that word means to cure, literally or figuratively, to heal, to make whole. So those who operate in a gift of healings manifest a greater level of healing and restoration of those who are under attack of disease and deformity. You know, some of us can lay hands on somebody that has a headache, right? And Yah will honor our faith and honor their faith, and the headache will go away. And then there's others who deal with things that are a whole lot more deeper level, the things that are the bodies are more, especially the ones that we can see outwardly. Like Pastor said at the meeting, Brother Rashawn, what he say is his leg was 3 inches shorter, and just, I mean, that takes an incredible gift of faith and gift of healing. And of course, the Pastor Dow, who else do you know that actually continually walks in him? Because he's man. We're going to talk about that too. But where this the desire, the urge. Not only is it the reverence for Yah and the gratefulness that he's bestowed the gift upon pastor, whoever else operates in certain gifts, but the fact that there's a burning love and desire there to actually see somebody made whole or somebody cured or be free from whatever the affliction is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, again, still going down, breaking down the different gifts. And to another, all these spiritual gifts, and to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discerning of spirits, and that is both good and evil, to another diverse kind, many kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All right, the word miracles, as in the working of miracles, is the Greek 14:11, dunamis. It's from the Greek 14:10. It literally means force. Specifically, miraculous power, usually by implication of miracle itself. The ability, the abundance. Again, there's a greater manifestation, a greater measure, a meaning, might, miracle, power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful work. We're going to go to Mark chapter 9, verses 30 and 39, and just show, you know, read about a quick example of a greater miracle. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils. So the context of this conversation is that John, the disciple, the apostle, the one whom Jesus loved, saw somebody else casting out devils in thy name. And he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle. Remember, the context was casting out a devil. Do a miracle, greater force, greater power, greater authority. That's what a miracle is. In my name, that can lightly speak, because you're exercising, you're walking in manifesting the power of Yah, the spirit of Yah that's within you. Now, casting out a devil is actually, as it defined in the word, is a miracle. All right. So everybody that actually gets involved in my name, you shall cast out devils. You're actually performing miracles every time a spirit is cast out. You're actually walking in a greater authority and a greater force and a greater power under the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that's in those that have the actual manifestation of the gift of working miracles have these things, but yet in a greater measure. They can tackle the bigger obstacles and, the bigger roadblocks. All right, to another prophecy, this gift of prophecy, and it's pretty much self-explanatory, but this is, again, in a greater measure. Greek 43:94, this is the Thayer definition. Prophecy, a discourse emanating from divine inspiration. So right away we know where the emanation is. From divine inspiration, declaring the purposes of Yah, whether by reproving or admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing things hidden, especially by foretelling future events. So there again, to another prophecy, able to Yah, in a greater measure, in a unique measure, unique position, is actually able to tell the things that will be, and they actually come to pass. And, Joel 2:28 and 29 talking about this in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. So, definitely this thing was, pronounced and proclaimed long before, Paul wrote this letter. And again, the unique thing here is a prophet, somebody that's ordained a prophet or recognized or has administration as a prophet definition of his administration is going to walk in the gift of prophecy. He's going to have that. It's what makes him a prophet. So can this be individual to somebody else that's not a prophet? Sure, why not? I mean, I know of more than one person, including myself, that actually ended up revealing something, not even realizing until after the fact by words spoken, but that was operating in that kind of very small, minute measure of that, I don't want to say gift, but just that experience. All right, discerning of spirits. The Greek 12:53, Thayer definition. And it is a distinguishing, discerning, judging. And these people that operate in this gift, the discerning of spirits. Remember, these are both good and evil, are able to distinguish what manner of spirit is operating and truly working. And again, pastor is definitely one that is working in this. He operates in just about all the gifts, honestly. Yeah, that's truly, you know, here we got a demonstration of Yahshua as, you know, the same gift that, because Jesus got the Spirit without measure. So, of course, when he operated in all the gifts, they were in the full measure. And we just get a smaller measure, but we have a demonstration idea of what they involve in a spiritual sense, not in a natural sense. All right, Luke chapter 9, verses 54 through 56. Luke chapter 9, 54 through 56. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Yahweh, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And so you got James and John and their zeal, and there's something going on, and they want to call down fire from heaven, and they're going to consume the adversary, right? But Yahshua, but he turned and rebuked them, and he said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. But of course, Yahshua, he was operating in a full measure of discerning of spirits. He already knew what spirit they were working with, and it wasn't the one that they believed themselves to be working. And Jesus knew full well, by discerning them, what they were actually operating in. They were coming for just the purely destructive purposes. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So then he revealed to them where their thought pattern was wrong. But because Jesus was able to discern the intent of that spirit, because a lot of times people say one thing, but there's anybody with a real spirit of discernment and actually walking in that gift can discern that even though the words are saying one thing, there's something else that's speaking them. It's a deceptive type of thing. And I believe everybody does have a small measure of discernment, but there are many that have a greater, much greater level, which is the exhibition of the gift, of the bestowment. Kinds of tongues. All right, again, we're just still going off of verse 10 back in 1 Corinthians 12. Breaking down all these, because there's a good handful of them that Paul is telling that all these things are there for the asking, for the coveting. But when you get them, you know, Yah has all these for the using, for the bestowment to the saints. Kinds of tongues, Greek 1100, 1100, Thayer definition again. The tongue, a member of the body, an organ of speech, a tongue, the language or dialect used by particular people distinct from that of a. Because you look this up in the Greek and it really doesn't mean anything more than what it says. And they're giving more of a natural definition of it when we know full fact that it's a spiritual tongue. I mean, these are spiritual gifts. These aren't natural gifts like, you know, learning five languages, right? That's not what this is about. And, you know, if the tongues spoken as if it relates to the gifts of the Spirit were just foreign language, then it would stand to reason that, you know, if someone were speaking in the dialect of the stranger or the foreigner or somebody else that wasn't acquainted with that particular language and a newcomer, what would be the need for interpreters? See, that's the thing that they all miss, because you would, if the tongues were actually just foreign languages of this earth, I mean, when you're speaking the tongue, where's the gift of interpretation? It's not even needed in the assembly. So we already know that when Paul said these are spiritual gifts, that's what they are. They're heavenly languages, right? And this is the part that honestly, kinds of tongues are, you know, different. I don't know what the different kinds of tongues are. I mean, one person having different kinds of tongues, I guess so. And but that is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And the interpretation of tongues, the Greek 2058. And we've seen the demonstration and heard the demonstration at the ministry here on numerous occasions. Interpretation of tongues, Greek 2058, from the same as 2059 translation, interpretation. So that's what it is. I mean, how can you actually, when somebody, when you're speaking in tongues, you don't even know what you're saying. You're speaking under Yah. So obviously this needs an interpreter. You're not talking to a third party, you know, like you're not standing there translating from, you know, one language to somebody else that doesn't know, you know, speaks a different language. This is actually interpreting the spiritual language, which no man knows. So it has to be given by interpretation. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. And this is the last one there. But all these worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So again, Paul, again, he keeps coming back and saying that and reminding them that it this comes from the same Spirit, Yah's Spirit. This is a heavenly thing. This isn't an earthly thing. This is a heavenly thing. All right, jumping down, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 through 31, talking about the gifts of the administrations, and we're going to combine that with Ephesians chapter 4 as well, and it gives a more broader sense of what these administrations are. And so Paul goes on to write, and Yah has set some in the assembly, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Though most of these fall under the category of administrations, nonetheless they are still gifts Yah bestows upon the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, for the work in the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what all these gifts are for. They're not for the world, therefore the body of Christ, to bring us into a unity, a oneness, and a wholeness. That's why Yah gives them to all the, you know, if he only gave them to one person, then everybody would go to that one person, but because this person is over here and has that gift, or this person over there and I have that gift, when we all come together, then that forces us in a position where we have to come together to experience the gifts, if you understand what I'm saying. All right, are all apostles, are all the prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Well, the answer is no, they don't all do that. There's certain individuals that have this higher measure of this gift. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And it's really amazing when Paul's talking about the excellent way, and we're going to show what that excellent way is briefly. And I wonder how many people know what the excellent way actually is. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 15. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. The reason I put Ephesians here because the list is bigger as it has to do with the administrations. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work in the ministry, for the edifying the body of Yahshua. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yah, unto the perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Yahshua. That we henceforth be no more children. This is what builds us up in this perfect faith. This is what brings us to maturity. By these that are ordained in these positions, these men that bring us out of a state of immaturity as babes, that where we can be suspect and be spiritually abused, where we can actually get toughened because of the teaching, the preaching, the exhortation, and everything else that comes along with walking in the gift of that administration. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ. And I did break down all of what the different administrations were, but I didn't mean to go this long. So I'd encourage you, if you want to know what they are, in a, you know, more of a, I don't want to say greater detail, but more of a clear understanding of what each individual administration entitles, because there are different ones and they have different exhibition of the bestowment according to whatever the administration is. Like an apostle is generally associated with somebody that had miraculous powers. A prophet is a prophet. He's the one that gives the inspired word by Yah to speak on things that have not yet happened but are to happen. An evangelist, in Strong says a preacher of the gospel, but it's somebody that knows how to evangelize. I was trying to read the Greek, but you can forget that. I trip out and teach Eric, man. He's got these Hebrew words down so good. It's like, man, my lips are just going like, huh. Anyway, I guess you just have to give it a lot of practice. But an evangelist, they announce good news. They're exciting. They bring an excitement and a higher level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, just excitement. And of course, pastors, the definition they give are shepherd. We got the gift of helps and governments, and those placed in governments are like those that are heads of assemblies. They have that gift. Yeah, hallelujah, but ugly. Yeah, gift of diverse tongues. I know I don't. Anyway. And those that have the gift of governments, you can see that maybe in the ones that Yah puts in the place of being the heads of fellowships and the heads of communities, simply because there's been something bestowed upon them in a greater measure to be able to be in a position to help keep the body united and together. Not everybody can be in a position of government. It's just the way it is. Some are better, they may have been good followers than God. Who knows what the reason is? Yah sees the way he sees, but. All righty, going down to, all right, we're going to jump right down to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, probably pretty much the whole thing, 1 through 4, 1 through 10. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 10. All right, remember Paul said in the end of chapter 12 that, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Well, the excellent way he was talking about was love. Charity. That's what he was talking about. That is the excellent way. And what we get caught up in looking at chapter and verse, when in fact this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth didn't have chapter and verse. It was a flowing letter. May have had paragraphs if they practice that kind of penmanship. But chapter 12, as we know it today, rolled right into chapter 13, which would roll right into 14. So contextually, they're all together. They're all part of the same understanding, the same thing that Paul's trying to present to the church at Corinth. Because remember, in 12, he's telling them that, look, here are the gifts, and these are the spiritual things that Yah bestows upon his people to greater enhance, to bring us to that perfection through exhortation, edification, teaching, learning, the whole kit and caboodle. But then expounding even more on that, the excellent way he's talking about is that in order for any of these things to really work and have focus and have meaning to the person that actually walks in them, is they have to have a level of charity or love. And Paul, he breaks it down. He breaks down some of the gifts when he opens up, talking about, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. So he's talking about, kinds of tongues. And have not charity or not have not love, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. I mean, I may be able to exhibit the gift, but when it's not in me to, like, it's the same manifestation of the love that Yah has for us when he bestows upon us those gifts from him to us, it's done out of love. Well, Paul is just echoing the same sentiment. It means nothing. It's just sounding brass, tinkling, because it's not done out of a real, true, done out of the spirit of Yah, because Yah is love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so he's breaking down, just going briefly, skimming back over some of the gifts he just described to Corinth, and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. So here we're talking about the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And though I have all faith, or the gift of faith, that so that I could remove mountains, that's what a gift of faith does. It can remove the greater and more difficult obstacles in them spiritual mountains, and have not charity. So without love, none of this means, it doesn't serve any purpose. Again, because Yah is love, and he manifests the same way towards us with the gifts that he gives us. They come from him. You know what I'm saying? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, is that a gift that helps? Could be. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So this is the more excellent way. Charity suffereth long and is kind, and charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, because if anybody walks and practices and grabs hold of what Paul say that love really is and the characteristics, and what he's trying to expound on us to the saints that there at Corinth and everybody that's ever read this letter, is that you do these things that charity does. You practice every one of these virtues of charity and the aspects and the characteristics of true love, the same love Yah exhibits towards us, and the same love, because Yah, the greater is he that is in us, we should be exhibiting towards our fellow saints. Then you're going to see a real explosion, a real clear manifestation, overwhelming manifestation of these gifts. But just by operating this stuff the same manner as Yah would, does not behave itself, and these are all characters of Yah. Okay, so let me see what Yah is. Yah is, he is love, right? Yah suffers long, does he not? Yah is kind, is he not? Yah doesn't envy. He's got nothing to envy. Yah doesn't vaunt himself up. He is as he is. He doesn't need to. He's not puffed up. Pride's a sin. No, because he's thy Elohim. But these are all manifestations of love. He doesn't behave himself unseemly. He doesn't seek his own. He is not easily provoked. He doesn't think evil. Again, this is love. This is true charity, true love. The things that Yah is, and the things that we need to be to further walk in the gifts. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. Yah never fails, does he? But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Hallelujah. All right, that's the conclusion of this study just on the gifts. And it was pretty superficial, but again, you could spend just on one subject on here. I can tell you this, it was tough getting out of the gates. It really was. I don't know what this pressing on my head was. I didn't really have a whole lot of time to prepare like I normally do. But glory to the King. All things work together for the good, according to them that are called. So be called. Anyway, hey, blessings to y'all. Even more so now, as Satan knows full well that the saints of the Most High are preparing to enter into the last, the fall feast here. Those that are Israelites, whether they're here with us bodily or they're without, can't be with us bodily yet. As Israelites, it's, keeping the feast of our Messiah, keeping the feast of our Elohim, to honor him in obedience to him. But, already this year, there's just been a real increase in, Satan's been working overtime again. So that's normally the pattern we see before. He's always trying to confound the feast, always trying to do what he can to derail the feast and get us off our game, so to speak, but he loses every time. So y'all stay prayed up, get your hearts and minds prepared for what Yah has for us during these festivals, these times of remembrance. Yeah, trumpets will be here real soon. I mean, it's like we're going to blink and they'll be here. Boy, where did the summer go? It was like 56 degrees here this morning. I couldn't believe it. Like I said, it felt like it was 40 below. Anyway, glory to the King. All right, bless y'all. Remember, keep the men of Yah lifted. Keep Pastor lifted up always, Pastor Corey, the elders. in yourselves. You know, pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, and walk in charity. And even what measure you have, do it in love, and that measure may be increased. So, and after the messages we've been hearing, that's about all we should be needing to really help us prepare for what's coming, you know, during Yah's holy feast days. So, anyway, y'all have a blessed week. You be encouraged. Keep your mind on Yah, no matter the battle, the trials that you have in front of you, the seemingly, daily affairs that we deal with in this life. And, you know, encourage yourself like David did. No matter how dire the situation may be, you know, encourage yourself. Sometimes it's, you know, stuff enters in the head and the devil's there trying to steal our salvation and trying to get us to give it away and to walk away from it, but just means that we have it. All right. Anyway, bless y'all. You have a blessed week. Shalom, shalom.